How God Rescues Us. Commentary for the July 22, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Matthew 14:29-31. As a windstorm has been raging outside, I have been reflecting on the past 4.5 years and the challenges we have faced. In that reflecting, I am mindful that many of you have faced challenges as well, and you will be able to identify from your own experience with what I share. In 2018, I came home to find my wife in the throes of a stroke. Recognizing the signs, I immediately rushed her to the emergency room at a local hospital. Early intervention minimized the damage, although she tells me that she can still tell the difference mentally from before and after. A medication prescribed some months earlier by a doctor caused a massive pulmonary embolism, and a blood clot from that broke free and caused a stroke. Little did we know that this was only the beginning of challenges we would face. My wife often has nightmares from traumatic experiences she had earlier in life. 2 years ago, one of those nightmares was so violent she fell from the bed and struck her eye on the bedside table, tearing the lens from her eye and rending her cornea. This month, after a series of delicate operations, including a cornea transplant and lens implant, she is looking forward to finally being able to get a refractory exam so she can order glasses and recover normal vision. When we were told in the beginning that the process would take approximately 2 years, it seemed like an impossible wait to finally have healing. And yet, here we are, looking forward to the end. While all of this may seem like enough to deal with, several trips to the emergency room for me beginning in November, as well as failing strength for my wife, brought us both to the same cardiologist. In March, my wife had cardiac surgery to repair a congenital hole in her heart. And in April, I had 7 stents put in my cardiac arteries. We have both been recovering from those surgeries. That should be enough, right? Not even close. Due to chronic infections that seem to ignore antibiotics, we discovered that my wife needed kidney surgery to remove stones that were too large to remove with ultrasound. It is hard to find the strength for so many surgeries, especially when still recovering from earlier ones. Perhaps as a side effect from the anesthesia from this last operation, she has had nightmares and fallen from the bed twice over the last week. We pray it has not caused problems for post-operative healing. As an ironic footnote to all of this, we also discovered our male Siamese has diabetes. I thought, no problem. We'll give him his insulin twice a day and everything will be fine. Unfortunately, he is now throwing up several times a day. I also thought cleaning up after him was no problem. We have a carpet shampooer that does an excellent job of cleaning it all up. But this morning, somehow, a medication pill was on the floor and got caught up in the shampooer, spreading an indelible yellow stain over the area of carpet I was trying to clean. An hour of shampooing that same spot made little difference. Oh, and remember that windstorm? I heard a crash earlier and found that it had done its best to destroy a patio umbrella and several potted plants. I don't share all of this as a pity party. As I said, some of you can relate to overwhelming challenges from your own experience. We tend to be inane about sharing such things. Someone asks us, "How are you?" And we reply, "I'm fine, how are you?" In the process, as we struggle with hidden challenges and grief, we tend to think that because everyone else is fine, There must be something wrong with our faith, or we wouldn't be struggling so. But when we hide behind the mask of a life that is going well, we create the illusion that even though Jesus suffered, we don't have to. In fact, if we do, we are admitting our faith is defective. But this is a heresy. It is as though Satan were shoving our troubles into our faces and saying, "You're not saved, and God doesn't love you, else he would spare you these challenges." But how could God, who could not even spare his own son, the suffering he endured, give us a get-out-of-suffering-free card? The grand themes of salvation found in Ephesians and elsewhere in the Bible are beautiful testimonials of God's love for us, amid assurances that one day the suffering will end. Jesus' trip through that dark valley, followed by his death, resurrection, and ascension, were not only evidence of that love, but also surety of its reality. We live our lives in a charnel house ruled by the prince of the power of the air. Remember the windstorm? Although we can choose a better but challenging life, our enemy does all he can to dissuade us from that path. Some, when faced with such struggles, find it easier to give in and go with the flow of those who, tired of the challenges, choose to seek diversions that will distract them from the pain and suffering being hidden behind the masks they see all around them. They learn to accept the masks as a better choice than facing the reality of what lies behind them. The masks and the available distractions become reality for them. Actual reality intruding into such lives would be seen as rude and offensive. But barring a soon returning Jesus, we will all eventually reach the end of our lives. When we do, what we consider real can be shown through a tally of how many hours, weeks, months, and years were given to what pursuits. We can spend our entire lives as escapists, fleeing struggle and challenge, burying ourselves in fantasy and pleasure-seeking. But should we live so long, our ability to pursue those interests will flag, and we will be left alone with what we have become. If we have avoided struggle our entire lives, the final challenge that comes at the end can be terrifying. When taking communion to elderly shut-ins, the most common lament I heard from them is that they did little to reach others with God's love and missed so many opportunities to interact positively with those in need of that love. We build a universe that we feel works for us. While we may be willing to admit we are not perfect, our refusal to entertain different perspectives implies that we are, and by further implication, that our personal perspective, based on our constructed reality, is also perfect. Even though there are over 8 billion such constructs being lived out currently, we assume ours is the only correct view. Sometimes it seems as though humanity and humility have little in common. Why do we so often find common cause with the Christianity that stones to death Sabbath breakers, adulterers, and those with questionable sexual orientation? We love what the Old Testament has to say about such things, even though we ignore anything we find there that condemns us personally and defend ourselves with assertions that we are under the dispensation of grace. But what you hear little of from such fundamentalist perspectives is how wonderfully blessed it is to be meek and a peacemaker, despite all that Jesus had to say on the matter. We find it hard to accept a Christianity that embraces others. We are more comfortable with a faith that keeps them at a distance. That kind of religion demands we make copious use of masks that hide our flaws, lest we too be found on the wrong side of the fence and the stones come our way. In our upside-down world, we deny that what Jesus lived and taught has anything to do with reality, Instead, we advance our personal fantasies as reality and proclaim God and Jesus to be the real fantasies. In quantum physics, what is reality can be changed by observation of the subatomic. Perhaps a primal fear prevents us from accepting Jesus and God as real because that observation would change what we have declared to be fantasy into something far more real than we imagined. Putting things more metaphorically, we can sit around the campfire on a moonlit summer evening enjoying s'mores. The treat makes us feel good. The fire is warm, and our friends are here. Why would we want to do anything different? But if we could pry ourselves from the comfort of friends, a warm fire, and plenty of s'mores, we might follow a nearby trail that would lead us to discover a lake, and with the lake, a canoe on the shore. Paddling out into the lake, we see the moonlight shimmering over the water and discover a heart-touching reality more profound than anything we felt staying by the campfire. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary along with a scripture footnote supporting an idea in the commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries and podcasts and books written by the author at that website. Again, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.